It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. As we go to air Friday morning, Illinois time, the Chicago White Sox are one loss away from being the losingest team in modern baseball history. And by modern, I mean since the McKinley administration. So far this year, the team has won just 39 games, and they've lost 120. That ties them with the 1962 Mets. Fans turned up to a three-game homestand this week, many seemingly hoping for that historic infamy as a sort of consolation prize for a dismal season. But once again, the White Sox disappointed their fans, in a way, pulling out not one, not two, but three victories in a row.
On the ground, right side. That's all Siriorte, and that'll do it. Ball game. For the third game in a row, the White Sox refuse to give in to history. And they sweep the Angels 7-0 in this three-game series.
Joining me now to talk about why the White Sox and many other teams in Illinois make it so hard on their fans is Cheryl Ray Stout. She's sports contributor at WBEZ Chicago Public Radio. Cheryl, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Thank you, Brian.
Cheryl is a busy sports reporter, and so we tape this on Thursday evening in order to make our schedules meet. So we're not taking calls, but you can let us know what you thought by emailing talk@21stshow.org. All right, set us up, but beyond what I said at the beginning there, talk about just how bad has the White Sox season been this year?
It's been really difficult. The losses are horrendous. And the things they've had, these long losing streaks, the 21-gamer was tied a record. They've had, you know, five-game losses, seven, and just these losses were really long. And the sweep that they had against the Angels was only their second sweep of the season. And the first one was against Tampa. So there has not been a lot of good things. They made some trades. They fired their manager, Pedro Grifol, on August 8th, and they installed Grady Sizemore, who had never managed before. He never was a coach until this season with the White Sox, and he got the job to try to keep the ship from being completely in the tank. So it's been an uneven season. You know, they traded Dylan Cease just before the season. They only had one all-star, which was Garrett Crochet, who, you know, he is somebody that is going to be a trade chip more than likely once this season is over with. And then at the trade deadline, they traded away Michael Kopech, Eric Fetty, a pitcher that they signed that was in Korea last year, you know, Tommy Pham, Paul DeJong. So it's been an upheaval. And they've been bringing in a lot of their young rookies that have been installed. And sometimes you see plays that you go, what? You mean you can't catch that pop-up? You know. So it's been an interesting array of bad baseball most times, except this last three games at home.
Of course, they would snatch victory from the jaws of defeat in this moment. We asked people in our texting group about this. Tony in Urbana said, losing sucks. The great thing about baseball is every year is a fresh start. Mm-hmm. Do you see a fresher start coming next year?
This may sound horrible for Sox fans to hear this, but I think they're going to have 100 losses again next year.
Mm.
So if it's only 100, that's a 20-game improvement.
Yeah, that's big, right? Yeah.
There's a little bit of glimmer of hope on a couple of fronts. Their AA Birmingham team just won the Southern Conference Championship this week. And that says a lot because it's a real good league. And they had the number one pitcher in Noah Schultz. And they've had some other good, you know, players from there. So you're seeing some light there. They also got a great draft pick from Arkansas, their number one pick this year, Hagen Smith, who is similar to Garrett Crochet and Chris Sale, the former Sox player. So, you know, you see some of these things there, and they do have a good core of young pitchers. Their problem, Brian, is their position players. That has to be improved tremendously during this offseason.
We also heard from Katie in Springfield, who said teams ebb and flow and have good and bad seasons. The White Sox have had a historically bad season, but also have won the World Series. That's true. I remember that. A true fan follows the team and enjoys the sport, whether their team wins or loses. Yes, it's disappointing for the fans if the team loses, as it is for the players, but you support the team win or lose, if you are a true fan. What have you seen among fans in terms of their reaction, I guess, this season and maybe especially this week?
I think there's been a lot of apathy. Some people don't care. This week, it was very interesting at the games that they had here. The first game, there was a one-hour rain delay. And so these people had an opportunity to drink for an hour. So once the game got going, and any time a positive play for the White Sox was happening, they would boo. They would cheer for the Angels when they had a positive play. They were shouting, sell the team. You know, there was a lot of things like that going on that happened in the first game. It happened in the second game, a little bit later, because they weren't drinking as soon as they were the day before. But then the third game, they were able to just enjoy the atmosphere. It was a nice day. They realized that they were winning. They had a big inning in the fifth inning when they scored 7 runs, which they hadn't done all season. You know, so there was a little positivity. But the thing is,
I read that was the highest scoring inning of the entire season. Amazing.
Yes. And for Chris Flexen, I got to put this in perspective. This is the first time he won in 23 starts.
Wow.
Think about that.
Yeah.
You're going to the mound and you're going, well, I'm going to lose. And he didn't have a run scored against him. So, I mean, there was a few little breaks here and there. And it's just, I know it's really hard for the fans to really grasp this, because it was only just a couple years ago when they were in the playoffs. Last year they had 100 losses, but remember, they were in the playoffs just a couple years ago.
We heard from David in Mount Morris, who said, hey, all other Chicago team fans, welcome to what it feels like to be a Cubs fan. Only 100 more years to go. How is the rest of the Chicago sports landscape looking this year?
Kind of interesting, because the Cubs, everyone expected them to be in the playoffs, especially they got themselves a new manager, Craig Counsell, who's considered one of the better managers in the game. They've had a great pitcher that they signed from Japan, Shota Imanaga, who has had 15 wins. He had the combined no-hitter. But there were things that didn't work. I will also mention Michael Busch was really, a really good acquisition that they got from the Dodgers, and he's been really good first base. But the problem was that this team should have won more games. In fact, Craig Counsell came out and said this Cub team should be able to win 90 games at least. We should be able to compete with Milwaukee, his former team, and they didn't. And the problem is they don't have a real star. They don't have a free agent star that could really, bust it out for them. You know, they've got the, Dansby Swanson's been okay. He's been better lately than he has been most of the season. Cody Bellinger has his injuries issues here and there. But this team just, they couldn't play well at home. You know, they couldn't hit home runs, which was really interesting. So it's a team that's trying to figure out what they can do. They had good starting pitching, but they just never really gave them enough, offense to carry it through.
This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and we are talking with Cheryl Ray Stout, who's a sports contributor for WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio. The occasion for our conversation was the White Sox coming to the end of a very dismal season. Perhaps a historically dismal season. As we go to air on Friday, they are tied for the worst record, at least in the last century and a quarter in baseball, with the 1962 Mets. If they lose another game this season, they will have lost the most games in baseball again since 1900. Let's turn now to basketball, because Derrick Rose, Chicago great, one-time league MVP, he played 7 seasons of his 16-year NBA career with the Bulls. He announced his retirement from basketball.
You know, Brian, when he was drafted number one overall, the chances of them getting him was really small, and they were able to win the lottery, and they thought they won the lottery with him. He was rookie of the year. He was the youngest MVP just a couple years after that, and things were going well, and then he suffered one of the worst knee injuries you can have in the 2012 playoff game against the Philadelphia 76ers, and that knee injury kind of symbolized the rest of what his career would be like. He never recovered, well. He was such a powerful player especially a point guard. You know, that's an unusual position to be because the power, the physicality that he had. And he still played 15 plus years, but he never was the same that he was when he first came out. And that's the shame of it. And the one thing, Brian, is he embraced being a Chicagoan. He was announced, not from his college, not from, you know, his high school, some places, from Chicago. And that was something that the fans, you know, he was adored by the fans. In fact, when he would come into Chicago as a Knick or as, you know, Memphis last year, or, you know, all the different teams, Minnesota, the fans would be cheering for him. They would be shouting his name because the coach would put him in a game and they would shout MVP, MVP. Hmm. That was really chilling. And then to see his career, you know, flex the way it did, and he became a mentor at the end. But you can be assured of one thing, the Bulls will honor him at some point, and more than likely, and they should do it this year, they're going to have a ceremony for him.
In the rafters, so to speak. Yeah.
Well, I don't know about the rafters, they should. Okay. They really should. But he will be honored because they just started the Ring of Honor last year. And I think that they know, especially, you know, Derek and what he meant to this franchise, that they need to embrace that because the fans need to, because the Bulls team this year is going to be kind of iffy with some of the situations that are going on there.
The story of our lives these days. Well, maybe, and you know, the Chicago Sky are making the playoffs for the first time in a while. Do you have, just in the few minutes we have remaining, sort of a grand unified theory of why Chicago sports teams make it so hard on their fans?
We must have done something wrong in our lives that this happened. You know? I mean, hopefully we'll see some light at the end of the tunnel. Hopefully Caleb Williams and the Bears will start getting going and prove that they are better than what we've been seeing. There's always hope. You got to have hope. Otherwise, you're going to be, you know, drowning your sorrows in a beer or whatever you use to imbibe. You know, that's Chicago.
That's the hope that kills you, though. That's what the British people say,
yes.
Right?
It can.
What about, just about a minute left, what about hope for new stadia? We've seen the Bears coming to Springfield. We've seen the White Sox making an effort here. I've seen Governor Pritzker and his chief of staff was on social media this week, sort of subtweeting some other reporters saying, you know, basically that the governor's running out of ways to say no about this. What do you think are the prospects here?
I think the Bears situation is going to be more difficult than the White Sox. The White Sox may eventually get that done because the way the White Sox have always had a relationship with the Illinois government, but it's still going to be hard for them. But I think the Bears are in more desperate times. I don't think they're going to get that thing done at Soldier Field. There's too many problems. The Friends of the Park now got involved, and they kept George Lucas from building a museum, and he's worth billions and billions of dollars. You think they can't stop the Bears? Yes, they can.
Well, they didn't beat the Obamas out of Jackson Park.
No, but they got some things that they wanted.
Yeah, fair. All right. Show Raced Out covers Chicago sports for WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio. Thanks so much for sharing your reporting with us.
Thank you, Brian.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. Let me root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 'Cause it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
That is all the time we have for this week. I hope you'll join our texting group. You heard we shared some messages in that last segment. You can do so by sending the word TALK to 217-803-0730. That's TALK to 217-803-0730. Or go to 21stshow.org. Coming up on Monday's show, we'll be talking about the growing gender gap in American politics, especially among the youngest generation of voters. There's a pretty significant split, with women favoring Harris, men favoring Trump. We'll talk about what's behind that, the Taylor Swift effect, the Manosphere, the group of male influencers, and what role they're playing this year. And we want to take your questions. You can email us. Talk at 21stshow.org is the address. The 21st Show is produced by Anna Casey, Christine Hatfield, and Jose Zepeda. Kulsum Khan is our digital producer. Technical direction and engineering come from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. And Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again on Monday.
You want to chase them all home, you want to?
Yeah, we want to.